Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 13.
Polygamy must be contagious. There's no other way to explain Harriet's position on this touchy issue. When Harriet first suggested we bring another kitty into our relationship, I thought she was just pulling my paw. Then I remembered, Harriet doesn't joke about anything. Even when she's in a good mood, Harriet's outlook on life is catatonic at best. The people in Harriet's life are polygamists, which is likely where she came up with this absurd idea to begin with. So what? My first handler was a radio shock jock hooked on porn, but you won't catch me playing an air guitar or flogging my flibbergit. I suppose Harriet thought she was being charitable by offering to let me choose the new sister kitty. Her true motivation hit me squarely between the whiskers. Harriet wasn't concerned about some golden ticket to heaven given only to polygamous families. I just wasn't enough cat for her. And while some toms might be intrigued by watching their lady friend bump and grind with another pussy, I wasn't one of them. Not because I'm some kind of hetero supremacist, I just don't like to share. I'm not equipped to handle more than one feline at a time anyway. Amongst the many regrettable things that happened during my time with Nancy Neptune, I was neutered. Initially, I worried the procedure had turned me into a transsexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Then, I compared notes with other animals and realized most of us have suffered the same treatment. I can only imagine what the veterinarian thought when they brought my dog friend, Grundle, in to get snipped. I'll bet each of his hairy Rottweiler testes weighed a pound apiece. In the world of polygamy, spiritual collateral is measured in the amount of women each man can marry. Those who are unable to produce offspring are about as useless as a white crayon. And that's exactly how these types are treated, like they're completely invisible. Nephi Stratton, the prophet of Zion Flats, has turned erasing people into an art form. He gets off on kicking little kids and dissenters out of that scrappy wasteland in the desert. You got me as to why those who remain tolerate having their loved ones discarded like well-soiled kitty litter.
Chapter 13. Nephi Stratton.
The fourth seal in the Book of Revelation speaks of a pale horse, one who carried death as its rider. That pale horse has a name in Zion Flats, Evangeline DeLuca. She isn't galloping across the planet singeing the scourge of the earth. What she's doing is far more bothersome. Evangeline seeps into rooms, unnoticed, like a malignant form of cancer. My heart nearly stopped beating when she snuck up on me the other night. I was closing up the building where the order meets when I sensed someone standing in the shadows. At first, I thought it was the cops. They'll do anything to stop me from exercising my right to follow the true tenets of the Mormon Church. Then, I realized it was just Evangeline. She isn't smart like her slippery con artist of a father. If she was, she'd know better than to get anywhere near me. Nicholas DeLuca has been out of the picture for 6 months, yet he's still managing to cause trouble at Juniper Hollow. Nicholas put on a good show, but I always knew he was a coward. His second wife, Rebecca, got the idea Nicholas was planning to cut and run. It would explain why she went clear off her nut and tried to kill her own daughter. Too bad Rebecca didn't succeed. Like a true lily-livered weakling, Nicholas promised Rebecca he wouldn't accept a third wife until she conceived a son. My sister, Orinda, told me Rebecca induced all those miscarriages just to get a short leash on Nicholas. Everyone knows a man must be sealed to three women in order to be accepted into the celestial kingdom. Rebecca must have cared more about her earthly pleasures than she did about eternal life. She knew she wasn't getting into heaven alone. It ain't a ladies' club for crying out loud. Rebecca started stirring up trouble the second she arrived in Zion Flats. Her mother wasn't too bad. I married her myself, but I wasn't about to live with Rebecca, especially after her little sister kicked off. Rebecca's story was that she accidentally fell from the barn loft and landed on the grist mill below. They were the only ones in the barn at the time, so why was the mill turned on? Blood and guts sprayed everywhere. I don't see that much gore when I slaughter a pig. I called Rebecca into my office for a little chat. The media in Naval portrays us like a bunch of murderous miscreants. You can't trust the press. They're in cahoots with the dissenters from Naval. No one gets killed here without a reason. I wanted to hear what Rebecca's was. I was waiting for contrition or even an excuse. Instead, Rebecca defied my authority by moving into my personal space. For a moment, I thought she was trying to seduce me. Then she said, "God wanted me to." I have never seen so much hate in the eyes of a human being. I'd just as soon kiss a snake than get that close to Rebecca ever again. Fortunately, I had a plan. Figuring two wrongs might make a right, I introduced Nicholas DeLuca to Rebecca following a prayer meeting at the Zion Flats Ward House. Nicholas took a shine to Rebecca from the get-go. I didn't need to be divinely inspired to figure out these two deserved each other. Orinda says they went at it like a couple of feral cats, mating, hissing, snarling, and biting. It was like that constantly. They'd gorge on each other's flesh, then try and rip each other to pieces. Alcohol is against the word of wisdom, but Nicholas wouldn't follow good advice if someone engraved it on a gold brick and clobbered him over the head with it. Orinda wanted no part of his moral transgressions, yet she got involved anyway. Orinda was just as hung up on Nicholas as Rebecca. Of course, she'd never admit it. And why would she? Nicholas would no more bed Orinda than he would a bristly badger. Not that there's much difference between the two. Ever the faithful servant, Orinda did his bidding, letting me know when Nicholas compromised her integrity with a liquor run. Stupid hustler didn't think I knew about the booze. How could I not? He was hiding from the law, so Orinda had to buy it for him. Pitt County is dry, so Orinda was driving to St. George every other week, especially after Rebecca came into the marriage. To make matters worse, Rebecca was courting madness by using belladonna. She wasn't the only one, either. When Nicholas couldn't get his grubby hands on all the scotch he wanted, he let Rebecca scramble his brains with belladonna. Nicholas was wanted on federal charges, making him as useless as a wooden frying pan when it came to running errands. He bought a rolling wreck of a van and had Orinda get her driver's license. Don't get me wrong, this rig comes in handy. The men in Zion Flats have work to do. We can't spend all day running the womenfolk to St. George for supplies. We boycott the city of Naval. The apostates there don't deserve to have our welfare checks circulating throughout their community. Tensions ran high with Rebecca and Nicholas. She kept having miscarriages, and they kept fighting. Orinda says Rebecca would get violent, scratching and clawing like a wild animal. Sometimes, she'd run out in the night and not come back until the next morning. Orinda thought she was involved in witchcraft. Maybe so, but all four of the people who lived at Juniper Hollow showed up for worship services every Sunday. I could have done without Evangeline. Her clear eyes and white skin are disturbing. Since Nicholas obviously wasn't in it for the long haul, I tried to get while the getting was good. Despite being so shifty, Nicholas was a talented stonemason. Using granite filched from the catacombs, he crafted the pillars for the lake pavilion we used for our sacred wedding ceremonies. I don't normally take a shine to such fancy schmancy displays. This one, however, served me well.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? Find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers, get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
Nicholas had crept into Juniper Hollow without two wooden nickels to his name. He slithered over to Zion Flats, looking for work. A member of the quorum hired him to make a headstone for his father. It was nice craftsmanship, elegant and highly polished. Slowly, Nicholas wiggled his way into our community, generously offering to build the pavilion in the lake. Curious, I let Nicholas go along, wondering what his motive was. The easiest way to find out was to have him marry my sister, Orinda. I thought he'd choke at the suggestion. Any man with two eyes in his head would have. Instead, Nicholas bucked up and hitched his wagon to that old battle axe. Nicholas needed money, that was for sure. He wasn't getting any help from the DeLuca clan. Not a one of them had come around since the federal raid that happened during my grandfather's time. The electricity hadn't been turned on at Juniper Hollow for years. Nicholas tapped into our electric line at Zion Flats so no one from the rural power company would catch on. What was I getting in exchange? The promise of a new temple. As prophet, it is my solemn duty to provide my community with a temple worthy of Heavenly Father. For years, there have been plans to build a grand edifice. Lack of funds kept it from becoming a reality. Then I struck a deal with Nicholas and set about implementing a new tithing program. I reminded my followers that Jesus said it was better to give than to receive. In addition to being a stonemason, Nicholas was squatting on a property that had a whole mountain's worth of raw materials. He was able to quarry granite out of the ridge without anyone even knowing what he was up to. After he built the pavilion, Nicholas went to work making columns for our new temple. It didn't matter that carving into the ridge could cause the whole thing to collapse. By the time that happened, Nicholas would be off swindling some other sucker. His willingness to do this sent two clear messages. One, that Nicholas wasn't long for this area. Otherwise, why would he jeopardize a potential escape route by destabilizing Granite Ridge? And two, it confirmed the DeLuca family didn't know Nicholas was hiding at Juniper Hollow. This group of depraved mobsters would never consent to giving away free granite for a polygamist house of worship. The Nimbletons, who call themselves architects in Zion Flats, kept changing the plans for the temple. Every time they'd hit a snag, these dolts would send the whole thing back to the drawing board. While all this was going on, things were falling apart at Juniper Hollow. Rebecca started feeding Evangeline syrup made from belladonna berries. Then she'd take that spooky child on her late-night howls at the moon. Orinda thought they were communing with the occult. Nicholas, meanwhile, was drinking himself into an angry stupor every night. wanting to at least get the columns of the new temple finished before Nicholas lost his mind completely, I called him into a planning session with the architects. It was a contentious gathering, with some of the men accusing Nicholas of dragging his heels. The meeting went on and on, well past supper time. I finally ended it with a warning to Nicholas that if he didn't pick up the pace, he'd have more trouble with me than any belladonna concoction Rebecca could cook up. Nicholas, always the sly one, acted all innocent, like I didn't know he was doping with that wretched wife of his. The meeting left me with a pounding headache. I had one of my wives bring a sandwich to my room, and I tucked into bed early. The urgent rapping on my door a few hours later could only spell disaster. No one would dare to disturb me unless the town was on fire. I wasn't surprised the chaos was coming from Juniper Hollow. I'd been expecting it. While Nicholas was in Zion Flats getting hammered at the construction meeting, that strumpet, Rebecca, poisoned Orinda with belladonna. Orinda got violently sick after a meal prepared by Rebecca. She took to her room to recover and slept the afternoon away. Around sunset, Rebecca hauled Evangeline out to the baptism pool and tried to drown her. That was speculation on Orinda's part, but it makes sense. By what I consider to be an unlucky coincidence, Nicholas got back to Juniper Hollow in time to stop Rebecca from putting Evangeline out of everyone's misery. Orinda woke up to the sound of someone shrieking. Nicholas and Rebecca were in the kitchen, screaming and throwing things. It didn't take long for someone to pick up a knife. Maybe both of them had one. Who knows? Orinda says there was blood everywhere. Once again, Evangeline mysteriously managed to slip out of the line of fire. I had counseled Orinda on what to do if something like this ever happened. As per my guidance, Orinda ran outside and cut the cable used to supply the house with power. As prophet of Zion Flats, I can give power or I can take it away. Flim-flam man that he was, Nicholas probably planned ahead to use his daughter as a decoy. He must have rode out to the catacombs and told Evangeline to climb up to the top of Granite Ridge. Slick Nick knew old man Fletcher would call the cops, and that's exactly what happened. I'm not sure when Rebecca took a dive from the widow's walk, or even if she got a little nudge. Evangeline may be dumber than a frozen muckluck, but that murder attempt may have set Rebecca off. There's also the possibility that Orinda helped Rebecca meet her maker. There was never any love lost between those two. Whatever the case, Orinda did the right thing in moving Rebecca's body after it hit the ground. The fuzz hates it when you do that. It confuses them. I shouldn't have to give out badges when people follow my orders, but Orinda has been repaid for her services at Juniper Hollow nonetheless. I let Orinda keep that crummy van Nicholas bought, then sent her to work at Gecko's Gulch. She's around to keep an eye on that impertinent Moon McKenna and make sure there isn't any funny business with the other workers. Things were finally getting back to the way they should be. Until this morning. That's when I discovered someone was monkeying with the irrigation system at Juniper Hollow. I know, because I was trying to pilfer a little water myself. I figured the DeLuca family owed me for the money Nicholas skimmed off our church redistribution program. What I couldn't understand is why someone was trying to repair the pipe from the pump house to the baptism font. It sure wasn't Boyd Fletcher, the old codger on Granite Ridge. He's been warned more than once to stay out. There aren't any fruit trees on Boyd's property, so he didn't need the water. Besides, it would take an engineering marvel to pump water up a mountain as high and steep as Granite Ridge. Boyd just isn't that bright. Was it possible Evangeline was fooling with the pump? It didn't seem likely. Evangeline can barely string two sentences together. I can't think of any reason why she would want to fill up the baptism font, unless she wanted to finish off what her mother started. I probably wasn't going to get that lucky. No, it had to be someone else. Then I thought of Willard Simmons, Rebecca's twin. During the years Willard lived in Zion Flats, he made the mistake of challenging my authority, especially about my dealings with Nicholas DeLuca. I knew Nicholas was a charlatan, but I had a temple that needed building. At the time, Nicholas was of more value than Willard. I called some select members of the order to escort Willard out of Zion Flats. He left with nothing but an old truck and the clothes on his back. Just to put some sting into it, I planned to reassign Willard's wives, promising one of them to Nicholas. The shyster from Sin City was still one bride short of the entry requirements into the Celestial Kingdom. The gal I had in mind for Nicholas could gobble feed corn through a picket fence. I figured if Nicholas could stomach Orinda, he'd be okay with another wife of equal or lesser value. We all knew Rebecca was the only one Nicholas ever wanted, anyway. I pulled together the same group who got rid of the rubbish that is Willard Simmons. We spent all day driving around St. George, perusing construction sites. Warren Jeffs, the prophet of Colorado City, had this place well supplied with rejects from his community. Jeffs had started cleaning house long before the feds caught him cruising around Nevada in a red Cadillac Escalade. Stupid government. They made a celebrity of him. Now everyone thinks Warren Jeffs is the spokesman for polygamy. I almost didn't recognize my own son. He was up on the scaffolding, hammering away. I gave him a good scare, shaking the metal bars as hard as I could. He didn't want to talk, but he wanted to die even less. I got an address for Willard Simmons and left without another word. Willard wasn't home, but I was in no hurry. I passed around a cooler of Rowdy's Righteous Root Beer and settled in to wait. Willard put up more of a fight than I expected. It cost him an eye tooth before Willard was able to convince me he hadn't been back to Zion Flats since we ejected him. I was flabbergasted when a member of Willard's posse called the cops. That wasn't the way we settled our differences in Zion Flats. Even more surprising was the fact that one of those donut eaters responded to the call. I couldn't help but laugh as we passed this taxpayer-funded do-gooder rushing to Willard's rescue. It wasn't going to bring his tooth back, that's for sure. The stumper to me is the baptism pool at Juniper Hollow. No one outside of our community would have any reason to use it. The heretics in Naval have their own system and rarely head out this direction anyway. From the looks of it, the repairs were aimed at getting it up and running again. Why would anyone want to do that? The blasphemy of it makes me see red. If Evangeline is too stupid to rig up the irrigation system, and Willard is too scared to come back to Zion Flats, that doesn't leave many suspects. I instructed Orinda to scout around Gecko's Gulch, checking to see if those boys staying there this summer were making bad decisions. Everyone else from that opulent monstrosity called Gecko's Gulch knows to steer clear of Juniper Hollow. These boys might need to be schooled on the subject. I look forward to being the one to do it.
Skitters the cat hates Blue McKenna more than digesting hairballs. That's why he's especially irked to find that even in death, Blue won't give him a break. Adding insult to injury, Skitters is the only one who can help Blue find her way out of a hellish nightmare involving the DMV. Skitters can't get in a decent nap until he helps Blue cross over. And that's the rub. Get all the scratchy details in Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Get ghosted today on Audible, Downpour, and Spotify. Meow, kitties.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.